Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And good day to you. I am Rich McFadden in for Greg Corumbus on today's Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity, who is always here, to go over today's three martinis. And today we have three humdingers for you. Of course, Hillary is the top of the news, Jim, and she is absolutely going to wear this badge all the way to the election.
Yeah, I was going to say, I debated whether this, you know, we talked a little about this yesterday as the news was breaking. You could still make the argument that this should be today's bad martini. But look, you know, even the New York Times had to acknowledge that the FBI just made a really strong argument against electing Hillary. With a piece they have out this morning, it says, quote, "In just a few minutes of remarks, Mr. Comey called into question Mrs. Clinton's claims of superiority more memorably, mightily, and effectively than Mr. Trump has over the entire past year and with potentially lasting consequences." Look, the argument is that she's the experienced one. She's the one you can trust. She's the one who knows what she's doing. And of course, here's the FBI coming out and saying, no, in fact, she was extraordinarily careless. The entire State Department had poor practices and bad habits when it came to handling this information. There's a good chance it was hacked. We wouldn't have the ability to detect it if it was hacked. Everything short of, oh, by the way, she committed a whole bunch of crimes. Good news is for Republicans, you know, this was prime fodder for a strong argument against Hillary, and it sounds like that's just what the RNC has done.
Well, the RNC is not wasting any time. They've come out with an ad for it where they're pretty much laying out all of Hillary's lies and then having Comey debate those. So here they are, and here's what you're going to start seeing on TV all day long.
There is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work and for my personal emails instead of two.
Secretary Clinton used several different servers and administrators of those servers during her 4 years at the State Department. She also used numerous mobile devices to send and to read email on that personal domain.
We went through a thorough process to identify all of my work-related emails and deliver them to the State Department, and provided all my emails that could possibly be work-related.
The FBI also discovered several thousand work-related emails that were not among the group of 30,000 emails returned by Secretary Clinton.
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email.
110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information.
It had numerous safeguards. It was on property guarded by the Secret Service, and there were no security breaches.
We do assess that hostile actors gained access to the private commercial email accounts of people with whom Secretary Clinton was in regular contact from her personal account.
Did you or any of your aides delete any government-related emails from your personal account?
To conduct the thorough investigation was to err on the side of providing anything that could be possibly viewed as work-related.
They deleted all emails they did not produce to state, and the lawyers then cleaned their devices in such a way as to preclude complete forensic recovery.
Do you think it posed a national security problem?
I don't think it posed a national security problem.
She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries.
Pretty stinging.
I was going to say, she lied and she lied and she lied and she lied some more.
So how is that not criminal? How is that not a criminal act?
It's not under oath, so the lies aren't, but everything she said about this turned out to not be true. All of the excuses were not true. And the way they hung the decision to not prosecute on the, well, we couldn't prove intent. Well, wait a second. That's a completely new and different standard. But two, why else do you think she would put this stuff on a private server? You know, she absentmindedly set up the whole system?
How effective do you think this ad will be? I mean, the Hillary lovers are the Hillary lovers, and you're not going to dissuade them. Who is this ad going to hit, and who is it going to help?
Well, I mean, look, she has really bad favorable, unfavorable numbers and really bad numbers on whether people think she's honest and trustworthy. So this will ensure those numbers stay bad. Rich, all we need is a Republican candidate who would really, really hit her on this and not get distracted and bring up some completely unrelated issue at a day like yesterday. But What are the odds of that, right?
What are the odds of that? So Donald Trump, as usual, when he's got something handed to him, a softball like this handed to him, what does he do? He says something. Here's what he said.
Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, right? He was a bad guy, really bad guy. But you know what he did well? He killed terrorists. He did that so good. They didn't read him the rights. They didn't talk. They were a terrorist. It was over. Today, Iraq is Harvard for terrorism. You want to be a terrorist, you go to Iraq. It's like Harvard. Okay? So sad. So sad. Okay? So sad. And we're going to take care of it, folks. We have no choice. We have no choice. It was when they cut off the heads initially, we were all amazed. I think they overplayed their hand. And if they didn't, then we are all fools, because we cannot let them get away with what they're doing right now, terrorizing the world.
So obviously the DNC is going to throw this right back in the face and just try to bury the whole FBI investigation.
Rich, I think if you talk to most terrorism experts and those who've studied ISIS, the Nusra Front, and Al-Qaeda and groups like that, they would probably say that Syria is the real Harvard of terrorism and that Iraq is really more of the terrorist safety school. You apply to both and you hope to get into Syria, but if you don't, you always have Iraq there. No, look, it's a bizarre yearning for the good old days of Saddam Hussein, contending that he was good at killing terrorists, except for the ones that he was protecting, like Abu Nidal, and except the checks he would send to the families of Palestinian suicide bombers and groups like that. Yeah, Saddam Hussein was brutal in his rule of everybody. And so if he felt like various groups were against him. On a day when you have what should have been the single worst day for Hillary Clinton,
yeah,
basically all of a sudden he goes off on this tangent and we're arguing about the Iraq war and we're arguing about Saddam Hussein. People are saying, well, he said things like this earlier. Okay, but the Hillary Clinton campaign seized upon this and now the media is covering this and blasting us to the heavens. We've seen this kind of behavior from the media before. Apparently, late last year, Rich, Trump had said something like, look, Saddam took care of that. He even used the poison gas and all that stuff. So the blurred red line policy was bad enough. But now we're kind of sort of positive use of poison gas.
If there was somebody standing 10 feet away from Trump with an electric buzzer where they could remotely hit him and just make him shut up when he has a softball handed to him like this, because Hillary absolutely is going to have to fight this the rest of the way. And anybody who's kind of standing on the sidelines, not sure about who they're going to do, this would have been effective. And he takes away from that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And to, he wants to relitigate the Iraq war now, here, over this. Like, this is, people say, oh, you're rolling the dice with Trump. You know what you're getting with Hillary, and it's very bad, and that's indisputable. And with Trump, you're rolling the dice; it could turn out good. Okay, but with each given day, we do roll the dice with Trump. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth, and a lot of days it's not good. from the standard of wanting to see this guy win, if we were advising Trump, this is not what we would be telling him. And you have to figure everyone around Trump, who's around the campaign, would be saying, Mr. Trump, today's the day. Really hit Hillary. Go after her.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, and he goes up and he does his own thing. So,
we yearn for choices, and our only real other choice is the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. He seems to be struggling a little bit. Can't even get 30,000 people sign up for him to be able to be on the ballot in Ohio. This is our crazy martini for today.
It is. And Gary Johnson will appear on the ballot. That's the good news. It's not that he's been thrown off. It's not that Ohio voters aren't going to have that choice. It's just that the Ohio Libertarian Party, and look, Ohio's a big state. It's perhaps the most important key swing state. There have to be libertarians out there, and there have to be Ohio voters who are less than thrilled with the options before them. You'd think getting 30,000 signatures to get the Libertarian Party officially listed on the ballot, that shouldn't be impossible. It's not easy, but with preparation, you should be able to do it. They couldn't do it, so they're going to get the 5,000 or so signatures they need to get him on the ballot as an independent. So a lot of people would say, okay, it doesn't really matter, but it's kind of unnerving if you have a soft spot in your heart towards libertarianism, or you feel like this philosophy of greater liberty and smaller government could really do good for the country. They just come across as a group that just can't get its act together.
So two questions here. Does his being an independent in Ohio, is that something that he could use when he's a libertarian in every other state. How does the FEC see that when they go to count the electoral votes? And then does this help Trump if he can't put something together on the ground in Ohio? And is it stealing less votes from Trump?
I believe no one has mentioned anything indicating that the Electoral College, the electors, wouldn't count his ones for Ohio. It's the same Gary Johnson. It's the same guy, same platform. I don't see any reason why. You know, could some Democrat or somebody file a lawsuit over this?
Sure. Well, the Democrats wouldn't do it, but Trump certainly might.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to argue that Gary Johnson, the independent candidate, is different from Gary Johnson, the libertarian candidate. We can prove that through DNA if we have to. The second thing, the idea of, is it an ominous? I would kind of suggest that yes, that the single greatest example of this is that whatever you think of the libertarians, this was shaping up to be a great year for them in the sense that you have two extremely right. unpopular major party nominees. And then you tune in the convention at C-SPAN and there's the fat guy in the thong dancing on the stage. And then they do this joint town hall on CNN, and every question from Anderson Cooper, Gary Johnson offers his, kind of meandering one. And then William Weld jumps in with, well, what he meant to say was, and then this, which again, the important thing is still be on the ballot. It looks like Gary Johnson is going to be on the ballot on every state. He was on almost every, I want to say like 48, 49 states, something like that last time. And that's the more important issue here. But again, I feel like a golden opportunity is being given to the libertarians, and at least so far it doesn't appear they're making the most of it. And they're still there are some polls who have in the neighborhood of 9-10%. If they were a little more organized, they could be hitting that 15% threshold and appearing on the major party debates in the fall. So yeah. I suppose in some areas there's still some time for the Gary Johnson, William Weld campaign to start, firing on all cylinders. But little things like this are just kind of ominous indicators that this is kind of an amateur marijuana enthusiast organization and not a major political party ready to be the major third party
and it's a
player
shame.
In America.
It's certainly an interesting day for our martinis, and we'll see how these all roll into, because this Hillary's not going away, so I'm sure we're going to have a different take on that every single day this week. So tune in for the 3 Martini Lunch. I'm Rich McFadden. He is Jim Garrity. And we will see you next time on 3 Martini Lunch.